Today on Real Radio.
Wouldn't you like to be able to understand verses 14 to 16 to apply to the non-believer? Well, if I'm a believer, I must have godly wisdom, and non-believers have devilish wisdom. That's not what James is teaching us. James is teaching us that those who are wise recognize that there's a conflict in the life of the Christian. Has anyone not caught on to that yet?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through the New Testament letter of James. Now, this book was written by the half-brother of our Messiah, and it's known for its encouragement to seek divine wisdom. In verses 13 through 18 of the third chapter, James uses very strong language to differentiate the wisdom that comes from above from the earthly or even demonic wisdom. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his presentation called Who Has Wisdom?
The second point we see in verses 14 to 16 is that we are to recognize the conflict. And we'll see this in three ways. We'll see that the Christian needs to be aware of the conflict, first of all, and also that the conflict is against our, listen, self-life. And this is a blessing in disguise. And then the third thing we'll see in this point is that the conflict we face is very, very much spiritual. Very, very spiritual. We'll come back to these in a moment. Those who recognize the conflict, who is wise? Who's a wise man? Well, first of all, it's those who recognize the conflict. Verse 14 through 16. He says here, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, so there's another wisdom. There's a different wisdom. That's not God's wisdom. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is in fact, it is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Now, wouldn't you like to be able to understand verses 14 to 16 to apply to the non-believer? Well, if I'm a believer, I must have godly wisdom, and non-believers have devilish wisdom. That's not what James is teaching us. James is teaching us that those who are wise recognize that there's a conflict in the life of the Christian. Has anyone not caught on to that yet? Let me encourage you a little bit. The more you continue on in Christ, the more difficult the wars and the warfare and the spiritual attack becomes. Let me encourage you more. The more you read your Bible, the more you pray, the more you say, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, here I am. I want to do this. I want to do the other. You know, expect the enemy world to pull back its arrows and shoot at you. Now listen, I know what you're thinking because I think it too. And that is, that's why I'm just going to sit in the pew all my life. I don't want to draw any attack. No, listen, that's not Christian living, man. Christian living, we got hand grenades on our hips. We got bazookas. We got gun. We got a tank in our back pocket. Wind it up and turn it loose, man. We are soldiers for the cross. And when you really, really experience Christianity at its best, it's in the midst of the difficulties of life. Man, if you've ever been in a crisis, it's awesome to see how God comes through when you are bankrupt. Lord, what are we going to do? And the first thing he says is, stand aside and watch me come through with all the promises I've given you. Believe me, there's a place for the Christian when we are overwhelmed. It's when God comes in and shows us who's really in charge. We need to recognize that there's a conflict. The first thing is that we need to be aware of it. Verse 14, he says, but if you, can you underline that? I have that underlined, it's so important, but if you. It means, listen, the word if means since or because, or it is true, or for as much as. So the little tiny word if means because. So you can write that in your margin. But because you have bitter envy, not me, you do. No, I'm kidding, that's a joke. James is saying we all do. Are you ready for this? Or are we able to handle this meat that he's going to lower right between our ears right now, right between our eyes? James is saying every Christian struggles with the fact, that's what the word if is, not oh, if like some do and some don't, but if because it is true, he says, because you have bitter envy in your hearts. He's not asking us if we do. He's not saying, excuse me, do you have bitter envy in your heart? The Holy Spirit through James is saying, are you ready? James is saying, every Christian, and for that matter, non-Christian, of course, every human being, even the Christian, has got bitter envy in their hearts and self-seeking. You and I do. I don't like to hear that. It's just too bad. That's the way it is. We do. When someone's cutting up the pie at the party, what do you do? Who gets the biggest piece of pie? When someone takes a photograph and there's they post it on the wall, who do you look for first? Self-seeking. Envy. It's in our hearts. It's in our hearts just as the scripture says, listen, every man is a liar. The Bible says every one of us is a liar. Every one of us. How big was the fish? You are not, never will a person say, never will a person, if the fish was 10 inches long, honestly, truly, it was 10 inches long, a person will never say, I guess it was about a couple of inches. Oh, no, they'll say 10, 11, 12 maybe. I think it was about 15. They'll never say, it was about 4, when they know it was 10. It's always over. It's always bigger. Isn't that funny? You ever wonder why we do that? James says it's in our wretched, stinking nature. It's who we are. Isn't that weird? I'm not getting much self-esteem out of this message. Listen, the greatest way to get success in Christ over these things is to realize, you know what? Because this is true, I'm not going to bury my head in the sand like an ostrich. I'm going to say, yes, Jesus, I recognize that this is true. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to deal with my heart. That's how you get healed. It's like an alcoholic who says, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have a drinking problem. Do you think that person's ever going to get better? They'll never get better. James says, okay, everybody, Christians, listen up. We all have bitter envy and self-seeking in our hearts. That's why he gives us the command. So we need to be aware of the fact that we're in a great battle. It's the way that it is. It's a great conflict. So we need to wake up to it. We are in it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Paul's talking to Christians in Galatians 5. Do you have evil or sinful desires from your nature? If you say no, 1 John hits you upside the other side of the head and says, you're telling God that he's a liar if you say you don't. And nobody would ever want to do that. For the sinful nature and its desires are contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict, Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. Don't you battle? I want to do this. And you fall short of that thing. Paul says in Galatians 5, I know exactly how you feel. It's because we have two natures, the redeemed nature, and we have this fallen nature. But listen, the Bible tells us in Romans that sin shall not have dominion over us, over our new nature. We've been born again. We have power to overcome sin in our lives through the Spirit. He says here, he uses the word bitter, envy, and self-seeking. The word bitter means to be piercing, something that cuts. Something that cuts. This is the conflict that's inside of us. We have a tendency to have a word spoken that cuts someone. That's what the word bitter means. It means to cut or to lay open another. Isn't that a vicious word? Lay them wide open like a turkey. They're cut wide open. Christians do this. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, this bitterness is that we have the tendency to turn to somebody and say, bleh, and cut them wide open. Bitter. The word envy means to desire, of course, another person or what another person has. Perfect example is if a Christian let's say two Christians are up for a promotion at the company, or maybe the, your neighbor who's a Christian wins the lottery, which they shouldn't be playing anyway, but let's say somebody gives them the winning lotto ticket. And your neighbor comes over and says, I just won $30 million. You have bitter envy in your heart if you go, great, great. Oh, that's neat. And you shut the door and you go, can you believe that bum? Can you believe he just knocked on our door? He just won $30 million. You know why you're taking that attitude? You know why we take that attitude? Because we have bitter envy in our hearts. If we didn't, we'd say, $30 million? Praise the Lord, man, that is so awesome. You're going to tithe, right, to the church? No, you would be, praise the Lord. You wouldn't be envious of their situation. If somebody gets the promotion that you had hoped you were going to get, you know real quick if you have bitter envy in your heart. You see, it's not if you do. It's you and I have it in our nature, just like our nature demands that we breathe. It's that true. And for you and I to say, I don't have this problem, is to say you're self-deceived. The Bible states it as an absolute fact. Now that I know that this is a problem, how do we attack it? He's going to show us this in a moment. Very, very important. The word self-seeking means to create factions or to have personal pursuits that go against others, to spend your energy upon just yourself rather than spending your energy upon others. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 12, great verse. By the way, this is a verse that you might want to memorize or write down when the stock market opens tomorrow. It says, now godliness with contentment is great wealth. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we're not going to carry anything out. And having food and clothing, and with these let us be content. But those who desire to be rich, they're not even rich yet, they just desire to be rich, fall into temptations and in snares and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, but the love of it, is the root to all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and in their greediness have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. This word contentment in 1 Timothy 6 is a word meaning having self-satisfaction, not satisfaction in self, but self being completely satisfied. Why? Because you're clearly seeing, you have wisdom and understanding to know that you're going to go to heaven, that this earth is not what you're living for. We forget this in our culture. You know what? Maybe, just maybe, a little bit of poverty needs to come to the United States. Maybe we do need to lose a little bit of our footing. When we do, we cry out to God. It's important. Where or what or in whom are we really trusting? Our money is unlike any other currency in the world. Our founding fathers said, you know what? And by the way, read up on this. It'll bless your heart. Our founding fathers said, listen, Jesus said you can't serve God or money. So in our currency in America, we are going to put in God we trust, remind us with every transaction that God is the ultimate answer, not this money. What nation in the world has ever taken that kind of an approach? It's awesome. But do we really believe that? In God we trust. Is it with a big G or is it a little G? Evil, trying, hard, and difficult days test whether that's so in our life, by conflict. We have a conflict. We're not going to get away from it until we enter eternity. Having the wisdom of God will satisfy your heart. And having the wisdom of God will have your mind be at peace. And having the wisdom of God will keep our emotions and even our physical body in good health, having the wisdom of God. In Psalm 37:5, the scripture says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he, not me, I've read it a lot, he shall bring it to pass. Not me. He'll do it. The next thing that we see in verse 14 is that there's a conflict, and it's against our self-life, which is actually not a bad thing. The conflict is against our self-life. He says here, do not boast and lie against the truth. What he's saying is here, our self-centered lives affect the lives of others. If you're going to sit as a Christian and you're going to say, you know what, I'm just going to be my own little person, I'm going to love me, I'm going to take care of me, I'm just going to pad my life with all these things that just make my life happy, and I don't really give a hoot about other people, I'm just going to make sure that I'm doing cool, and I'm going to do my religious thing and live like that, you know, that affects people. I said, well, how does it affect people? I'm living all by myself over here. I'm just, every day I just count all my money, and it affects people. What he's saying is, when he says, do not boast and lie against the truth, he is telling us that a self-centered, self-seeking, envious life of others causes us to actually boast against the truth. That's why he says, don't do that. The word means stop it. And it appears in this verse with two punches. It actually means stop boasting against the truth. Stop lying against the truth. So to stop boasting implies that we do boast. And it means to be focused on the self. And so this conflict is actually also against ourself, our self nature, the selfish things that we contend with in this life. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7, the scripture says, for none of us lives to himself. You can't live by yourself and unto yourself. Paul says, none of us live to himself alone, and none of us die to themselves alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die unto the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We're Christians. We're in a huge community now. And how I live affects you. How you live affects me. But it's my private business, you're reading in the paper. You're hearing in the news. What I do in my life is my private business. Then why is it affecting me so publicly? It's impossible. If the president of the United States can sin and sin and sin and sin and finding out now that it's a whole lifestyle of living all his life, you can't say, it's my private life, but out. NBC, CBS, CNN, and the universe, stay out, it's my private life. You can't do that. I've already told you this, I think. But let's have Billy Graham make the announcement today. Let's have Billy Graham say, excuse me, you know, all these accusations and allegations about my private life, stay out of my private life. If I preach a good message, what's that to you? And what I do privately, that's none of your business. If I'm embezzling, robbing, and, you know, running over little ladies crossing the street, it's none of your business. I'm Billy Graham, what I do is publicly, and what I do in my private life is none of your business. What would you think of that? I know what CNN and NBC and CBS would say. Listen, if the Christian does not live or die to himself, how much more public people? But wait, how much more the Christian? If we are in a great community, what you do in secret affects my life. What I do in secret affects your life. People, we need to start seeing the spiritual reality of these things, that we are connected together. And the final point is this. The third point, who has wisdom? Those who have a godly character. Verses 17 through 18, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Very quickly, who has wisdom? Those who have a godly character. And it's seen as this, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above comes from heaven. So the first thing we realize is that there's wisdom that comes from God, and you get it by asking him. It demands that we be dependent upon the Lord. So the wisdom comes from above. Note its origin. A godly character can only come from God who is above. Can you find something good? It's come from God. The next thing we see in verse 17 is that it not only comes from above, this character, but it is also a character that is pure. This wisdom's priority, number one, is that it's pure. Very quickly, and this is, I think, rather enlightening as you go through this. I found this very interesting. It's not pure, number one, peaceable, number two, gentle, number three, willing to yield or submissive, onward. No, that's not what it means. Listen, the wisdom of God is pure. Because it's pure, what flows out of it is peace. It's like, what? What's the fruit of the Spirit, technically? Love. That's it. Love. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, guess what flows out of love? Kindness, gentleness, self-control. You see? You can't be full of God's love and have no self-control. You don't have any self-control. Yes, but I'm full of God's love as I knock you out. No. If you have all of God's love, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, the other things will follow. If you have the wisdom of God, it's marked by purity. Your life is marked by purity. Flowing from your life, flowing from the purity of God. Do you know what I mean by purity? It doesn't mean you wear white. It means because you are white, holy, cleansed, pure, made white, like a bride. Outflowing from your life are these things that follow. Peace. This word peace is also the word that Jesus uses. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peace. The kingdom of God lives in them. Gentle. This purity puts forth a gentleness. It's a state of picking people up, not putting them down. You're gentle. Doesn't mean you pet Bambi. It means you lift up another. Willing to yield. The word can be translated also submissive. You don't have to be right, is what the word means. Boy, did you hear that? You don't have to be right. You don't have to win. Good fruits, without partiality, not picking others over, or not picking someone over the others. And then he says here in closing, hypocrisy. The word is without wax. You don't have wax in your life. In the ancient world, they would doll up and hide flaws in vases by filling it with wax. And on a day like this, you could never sell a good an idol or a vase that was broken because the wax would melt. The word without hypocrisy means your life doesn't have any insincerity in it. You don't have a life that's filled with wax. You don't live like a Christian on Sunday for an hour and a half and then live like a non-Christian the rest of the week. And then he says in the last verse 18, he says, now the fruit of righteousness, by the way, is all of the above. The fruit of righteousness he just listed in verse 17. This stuff is sown in peace. Active verb, to be doing it. Sow these things. And those who sow these things, it says here, it's done by those who make peace. Make shalom. It's important to them on a godly level that peace be made, not on a compromising level. Jesus said in John 14, my peace I leave with you. Do you have that peace?
Pastor Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Who Has Wisdom? A question that serves as the title of this look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who has wisdom? Part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter written by the half-brother of Jesus, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, Salvation by Faith or Works. It's now on a 2-CD set just for you. Salvation by Faith or Works is yours for a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Just ask for Pastor Jack's CD series called Salvation by Faith or Works. You can get a hold of us by phone if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 1-877-RR-RADIO, or visit our website, realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.